Good morning, ladies. Welcome to the fall 2023 session of the YU Long Island Community-Based Medrash. Delighted that you're all here. It feels as though it's more important for us to be together now than ever. I'd like to welcome you all and introduce my colleague, if you haven't met him, Rabbi Jordan Auerbach, who's my co-pilot here in this endeavor, as well as Jacob Herzog, who's our graduate student at the Bernard Rebel Graduate School, is helping with registration. I'm Alan Sechter, the director for YU's Long Island region. Delighted that you're all here. A couple housekeeping announcements, and I will be pleased to introduce Rabbi Penner. All the sessions are going to be recorded, so if you miss a session or want to do Chazara, you'll be getting an email from Jordan or I afterwards with links to the recordings on YU Torah. Please make sure we have your emails if you're registering today. As well, we have a pretty active WhatsApp chat for the Long Island area with information going out about the Matzav, Dibur Chizuk that are being shared by YU rabbis, as well as information about our local programming. So if you're not in the WhatsApp chat and want to be, please make sure that Jacob or I has your phone number. I'm very pleased to tell you that we have a Shabbos of Chizuk and Achdus coming up this weekend in the Long Island area. We have it's either 8 rabbis at 10 shuls or 10 rabbis at 8 shuls. I can never remember which. We have a lot of rabbis and a lot of shuls. We're blanketing the 5-10s area, plus we have Rav Schechter in West Hampstead. Unfortunately, given the situation that we're in, we decided to postpone the Chag of HaSmicha itself. It was a difficult decision, but we feel as though it's the right decision. Nevertheless, the Shabbos of Chizuk and Achdus, honoring our mismachim, is going on, and we feel as though our Rosh Yeshiva and faculty have an important message, and we're very pleased to be sharing that with the community. So the flyers are on your tables, and there will be an ad in the local newspaper. Please make an effort to come and hear some of the presentations at your local shuls. YU is the only university in the country to fly the Israeli flag 365 days a year. We're very proud of our leadership for providing the moral clarity and the experience your students are having on our campus. Our campuses, I think, reinforces our commitment to Medinat Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael. I want to thank this week's sponsor. I'm actually a little bit, I have to get the lashon that I left in my other room. I want to thank this week's sponsor of today's learning. It's been dedicated by Helena and Jay Rubin. This year it's sponsored by the Rubin family in honor of the safe and quick return of our soldiers, hostages, and those missing, for the speedy and complete refuah shleima for Chole Am Yisrael, and for a refuah shleima for Yaakov ben Sara. Today's learning should be zechus for them all. And now it's my great pleasure to introduce my esteemed friend and colleague, Rabbi Menachem Penner. Well, you didn't record my introduction? Okay. Rabbi Menachem Penner is the Maximilian Grill Dean of the Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary at Yeshiva University, where he has the privilege to inspire and train the rabbis of tomorrow. Rabbi Penner served as the spiritual leader of the Young Israel of Hollywood in Queens for 20 years and is now the Rabbi Emeritus. He continues to teach, focusing on Tanakh, Tefillah, and Machshava in communities worldwide. Rabbi Penner is also a valued resource for many in the Jewish community, navigating personal and family challenges. He received his smicha from Ritz. He is proud to serve the institution from which he received his formative education. Please help me to welcome Rabbi Menachem Penner.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Alan, for all your efforts in putting this together, and Rabbi Jordan as well. Thank you for pushing me 845 times to do this. When I agreed to this over the summer, admittedly, I agreed to it in a different world. And when I agreed to the topic and the title, I agreed to it in a different world. The world has been changed, and it's probably not an overstatement to say that it's been changed in a way that it will probably remain changed. Certainly, illusions have been shattered, many illusions that we've been saying were illusions for a long time. In that sense, of course, tefillah is even more critical at this point. But I'm going to do different things, at least for the first couple of weeks, than I guess I would have otherwise planned. I've been working on a sefer for about 20 years, which is almost done. It's just the final editing now. It's going to be called Three Steps Forward, I think, because I saw another sefer just came out That's called Three Steps Forward from a different publisher. Yep. Listen, you gotta do what you can. So that is supposed to be the name. So we'll see if the name gets altered. But it's supposed to be Three Steps Forward. And what I was going to do was to share with you chapters from that upcoming Sefer. I had the schus to teach many of you several years ago a 6-part series on Tefillah, which is actually the core of the second volume, which is not yet as far as into it as the first volume. But I wanted to share with you many of these ideas. But the world changed, and I want to discuss with you many things over certainly these first couple of weeks that are very relevant to exactly what's going on today. Tefillah is, of course, critical, and Tehillim, of course, are critical, and we'll be saying a couple of prakam of Tehillim after the Shir, which goes till 10:15 or so, 10:20. So I'd like to give some guidance as to how we pray. We all feel the need to pray at this time. We don't always really understand the proper way to pray at this time. Is it through Tehillim? Is it through various pieces of the davening? The reality is, Chazal, we're prepared for this moment. We are unprepared for this moment. Certainly those who are my age or around my age and younger are unprepared for this moment. This is not the Jewish world that we live in. This is not the world that we live in. Maybe 9/11, maybe COVID has shattered our illusions that everything will just proceed as normal. But certainly in terms of real significant tragedies and significant open anti-Semitism, this is not the world that we are used to, but it is exactly the world that Chazal lived in, exactly the world that Chazal understood was going to be. And therefore, there are many, many things that they have prepared for us in place to deal with situations like this. So, Bershus, the women who are here, I want to wish a mazel tov to the one man who comes, my very, very close friend and mentor, Rabbi Joel Schreiber, who often comes. He is celebrating his granddaughter's bat mitzvah today in Florida, and the family should have a lot of nachas, and we should have simchas at this time, and I hope that he'll be joining us very soon. So what does one do when one needs to daven in a crisis? Where does one turn? So the gut reaction is to say prakim of Tehillim, and I already forecast that we're going to do that afterwards. So I'm not going to in any way push away the value of saying Tehillim at this time, but it needs to be noted that the practice of saying Tehillim in response to a crisis is not a well-founded Jewish tradition. It doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara. It doesn't seem to appear in the Rishonim. It's a much later idea. Yes, a pasuk here, a pasuk there, but the idea that the go-to our prakim of Tehillim doesn't seem to have been an ancient practice, as far as I know, and certainly needs explanation. Certainly needs explanation. My son said to me, my high schooler said to me, you know, why Tehillim? Why are we turning to Tehillim? Very often when we're saying Tehillim, we sort of wonder, is that exact, are we meeting the exact point? Many of the Rishaim mentioned in Tehillim that we're looking for their downfall are people who abuse and take advantage of other people in the community. People who are powerful within the community who are abusing other people, who are taking advantage of other people, who are stealing from other people. Many of the prakim don't seem to me. You say, I want to say the whole book of Tehillim today. That was a natural reaction on Monday morning last week to get out and say the whole book of Tehillim. But Mizmor Lasoda? Of course, we have to be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time. And it's very heartening for us to know that if almost 3,000 terrorists came into Israel on Shmini Atzeres, and only, whatever the number will be, less than 2,000 people were killed, unarmed people were killed by 3,000 armed terrorists, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was watching us even then. And we know that there were tremendous acts of bravery done even then, and we're just beginning to hear about it. It's not as we first thought it was Monday morning that a small group of terrorists came in and simply had their way with our people. There are an unimaginable number of atrocities that occurred, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to have lifted his protection that's been there for 75 years. He seems to have lifted it in a little way for a few moments, and terrible things happened. But even there, there is Todah. Even there, there is Todah. Even within us, there has to be Todah. Todah that we're safe. Todah that our children there are safe. Todah that only that number of people. But it just doesn't seem, and it's okay to call that out. It's not heretical to say, it just doesn't feel right. Yes, in saying Tehillim, and we've said so much Tehillim recently, there are psukim in Tehillim that read like a Hallmark card that I find on the shelf that say exactly what I wanted to say. They're psukim that I never thought about. There are pieces of davening that I never really resonated with me that seem absolutely perfect for this particular occasion. And yet, there are many times where we're saying a parak of Tehillim, and it doesn't necessarily speak to us in such a powerful way. So I want to first look at the custom of saying Tehillim. What do we accomplish by saying Tehillim? And then, depending on the time we have today, we may continue to next week, to look at where else we daven, where else we have opportunities, where are the proper places in Shemona Esrei to daven, and is it more important to say Tehillim outside of the davening, inside the davening? How does all of that work? I want to start with a somewhat uninspiring but true explanation of what Tehillim does. It's fascinating. If you look online and say, what is the source? What is the origin? What does saying Tehillim accomplish? You'll find incredibly little, even in modern sources. Probably the most quoted source is something from the last 10 years, which is an explanation given in the name of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I didn't bring that in front of you. Shlomo Zalman Orbach, there are many pieces that were written after his death called the Halichos Shlomo. And there, in his volume on Tefillah, I'm not a bucky in the writings of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, but I try to read whatever's out there on Tefillah. So he has a volume on Tefillah, Halichos Shlomo on Tefillah. And there he says something which is true, but maybe not so inspiring, that Tehillim is effectively learning Torah even more than a Tefillah. He speaks in this long footnote, what is accomplished by saying Tehillim? What does it do? What is the magic of Tehillim? And he basically says, it's a form of learning Torah. What's the difference if something is a form of learning Torah or is a prayer? What he says is that you have to understand what you're saying in Tehillim. You're supposed to think about the words. Tefillah, of course, you're supposed to have kavana, and of course you're supposed to mean it, and all this and that. But at the end of the day, we have a concept that tefillah is tefillah, and it's powerful to daven, especially in Hebrew, even if you don't understand what the words mean. You should occasionally talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your own language, and it's powerful to daven in English, but it's better to daven in Hebrew, even though you'll have less comprehension. Whereas when it comes to Tehillim, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes, it's effectively a type of learning Torah. It's a moving type of Torah. It's Torah that changes us. It's Torah that speaks to our values, our ethics, who we are. But at the end of the day, that's what it is. I can't argue with Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So I'll quote someone who has a different approach, an approach that speaks to me more. That's not saying it's more true, but we're latching on to things. We're trying to find things that are going to inspire us at this time. Rav Shimshon David Pinkus, there are many svarim from Rav Pinkus, most of which were not written by him. He wrote Sha'arim Batfila and Shabbos Malkusa. Most of the svarim that are in the name of Rav Pinkus were from recordings of his shiurim. Rav Pinkus died tragically and young, and they're in series like Nefesh Shimshon, where the recordings are produced. Sometimes it leaves the reader very, very unsatisfied, because he doesn't finish what he started. Because for some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this tremendous, tremendous gadol should not finish what he started. So you have a wonderful sefer, Nefesh Shimshon, on Tefillah, but it ends before the Shemoneh Esrei, because that's where he was up to with his classes. And you have a sefer on Tehillim that ends with the that doesn't cover most of Sefer Tehillim, covers just pieces here and there in Sefer Tehillim. So he has an introduction here where he speaks of the power of Tehillim, and he also, as we'll talk about, talks about the power of the Shemoneh Esrei. What is the power that we have here? So he explains, and then we'll look inside as we go further into it, what we hold in our hands when we have a Siddur, when we have a Sefer Tehillim, to understand the power, the military power, as he describes it, of such a volume of these words. And he gives us an example, someone who, interestingly, is trying to take down a building. I can't make this up. Someone who's trying to destroy a building for construction purposes, in his case. And someone who doesn't know what they're talking about watches, and they see that someone puts a couple of large cases of metal in the basement of this building, and then he flips a switch, and boom, the entire thing comes down in a moment. And this person watching says, okay, now I know how to take down a building. And he too goes to a construction project that he's working on. And he takes a couple of large metal cases and he puts them in the bottom, and he takes a remote control looking thing from his video game and he presses the button, and he's shocked to find out that the building doesn't fall down. And he says, I don't understand. I did exactly what that person did. I took metal casings and I put them there and I pressed the button. And someone said, you know, it helps to have dynamite. It helps to have some explosive matter in what you do. And Rav Pinkus compares the words of our sages, the words of Chazal, and particularly the words of David HaMelech, to dynamite, to explosives, that have much more power than we are able to put in our thumb when we press down on that button. The power of dynamite is the power that's been prepared for us long before we get to the point of actually pushing that button. Why say Tehillim instead of anything else? Did you ever think about the fact that Tehillim is probably the earliest known prayer that we can repeat? Did you ever think, when you're saying a parak of Tehillim, that you're saying something that was written by King David? He wrote this down with Ruach HaKodesh. But take away the Ruach HaKodesh for a minute. You're repeating the words that were said, and is every single parak said by David HaMelech? Doesn't appear so. It seems there were a few authors there. It says Mizmor LeBlanc, but the rove of it was David HaMelech. Tefillah LeMoshe certainly doesn't make it worse. Did you ever think, I never did, that when you're saying a parak of Tehillim, you're literally saying the words that a man named David HaMelech wrote down thousands of years ago? If you look at the front page, on the second line, sorry, it's turned, Behechreach anu chayavim lehizdakek lekocho shel David HaMelech. If we want to bring down buildings, if we want to succeed in a necessary destruction, a destruction that is needed to build, every act of destruction is in and of itself awesome and powerful and painful. Every building that comes down to build something more important, there were memories in that building. There were people that were at one point in that building. But if you want to bring down something in order to put something else in its place, you need the power of David HaMelech. HaKoach oto taman avurenu na'im zmiros Yisrael b'tehilotav. You need the power. You need the dynamite. What Rav Pinkus is suggesting is that, yes, it may not express exactly what we're thinking about, and it may not express exactly what is for the moment. Dynamite works somewhat indiscriminately, we found out in the last couple of days. Dynamite is very, very difficult to control, but it has a massive impact. Sometimes the impact is faked out to be much bigger than it is. But dynamite itself
has a tremendous impact. When we take the words of David HaMelech, and they might not be a precision strike, they might not say exactly what is needed, so many of them do, but when we take those words that are filled with dynamite, they were written by David HaMelech with Ruach HaKodesh. So we wield a very, very powerful weapon. Skip a paragraph. Uchamuvan, kasher anu potchim et sefer ha-tehilim, when we open up a book of Tehillim, otan zemirot behen shibeich ve'etid David HaMelech Yisrael lifnei avinu shebashamayim. The exact words that he said. Do you ever think about this? When I give a shiur, I gave a shiur in Young Israel Woodmere during their beautiful Tehillim program the other night, and I quoted Rabbi Soloveitchik talking about the eternity of Klal Yisrael. Whenever I quote Rabbi Soloveitchik, my hair, I get goosebumps quoting Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik, I'm quoting David HaMelech. He penned this, and that's who I'm quoting, and that's what I'm saying, and I'm walking in his shoes. There's incredible power in every one of those words. They have dynamite. They have explosive power. That's how you spell it in Hebrew, I guess. He wrote this without anything that's going on in mind. Et kol ha'utzma zu, all this power, anu rotmin l'tfinatena, we bring to our tefila. Va'azai yecholam anu l'tzapot l'kach, we can therefore hope shetitkabel b'ratzon lifnei elokim. It's not exactly the right thing to say. It's not exactly the right words. But it's David HaMelech. Va'amnam nita'er la'atzmeinu, he says, imagine, shehayinu yecholim levakesh me'hachofetz chayim zatzal. Imagine if the Chafetz Chaim, we had an opportunity to come in front of the Chafetz Chaim, Shiyit Palel Avureinu. Eze Zechus Nifla. What a tremendous opportunity. The Chafetz Chaim is going to daven for my Chola? HaTzadik HaNiska Vazer, HaKohen HaGadol Me'echov, this tremendous Tzadik, the Kohen Gadol, he was the Kohen, of course, Yit Palel B'myuchad Avureinu, he's going to daven for us? Ve'im Kein Kal V'chomer Ben Benosha Kal V'chomer. How much more so? Ki me'itanu lohei ha'chafetz should David HaMelech olav ha'shol nispala avureinu? Avuro? Avur yeladav? I have two doors. I get a free tefillah. Give $100. You'll have somebody say a tefillah for you. With all due respect to the Chafetz Chaim, David HaMelech is next door. I can ask David HaMelech to contribute, to be part of this war effort. Halozu yecholu liyos piskat ha'osher v'atzlocha. Would you imagine any other greater opportunity? Ilu hayanitnes lanu hizdamnut lahazkir et shemeinu b'fnei David HaMelech. We would be able to say our words in front of David HaMelech. Ulevakesh ki ya'atid ya'atir avureinu. He should daven for us. Milo hayakofetz ala hizdamnuyot hazeh b'shteyu. You wouldn't grab it with both. I'm sorry if I'm struggling with the words a little bit. It's hard to read this. I'm sitting in front of the real copy. It's kind of silly. Let me read it out of the real thing. Kol Yehudi ha'omeid be'ez tzara u'potech et sefro ha'kadosh. Any Jew who stands at a time of crisis, u'poseach et sefro ha'kadosh shel na'im zmiyus Yisrael, and opens this holy book of the pleasant singer of Israel, harehu mishtamesh be'etzem, Bekocho haniskav shel David HaMelech. David HaMelech is davening with me. These are his words. We have a concept that when I repeat something, b'shem omro, when I say something in the name of someone who said it, tzif sosav dovavot bekever, that their lips are moving in the kever. David HaMelech is part of this every time we say Tehillim. He's the one that takes this prayer and brings it up to the Kisei HaKavod. And then he adds, and it's a little depressing, but it's true, without this help, it's not simply the opportunity to have David HaMelech there. It's if you really want to bring down buildings, if you really want to fight in this war, we don't have so much dynamite in our tefillos. certainly compared to David HaMelech. We could do our best. We could take chisels and try to bring down the building piece by piece. And of course, if there's enough of us davening together, we could do that with little chisels. But once we tap into David HaMelech, we have something that is profound. Zohi dugma nifla'a lekocha shel tefila. This is a tremendous example of the power of tefila, lekocham shel pirkei tehillim, of the power of prakim of tehillim. Ulam, anu navi dugma nosefet. It says, I'm going to bring another example. I'm sorry. Wrong page. Okay, sorry. Uvechein ha'izdamnut lefanenu. That's the problem. When you go to the original, you're not reading on the same page as the handout. Uvechein ha'izdamnut, the opportunity before us, is in our hands. When we open up Sefer Tehillim, when we use the words of David HaMelech, halo temuna behen utzmoto ha'kabira, we get this tremendous power. Kasher anu omrim Tehillim, hareze mamish ki'ilu omram David HaMelech olav ha'shalom be'atzmo. That's part of the Yehi Ratzon. He didn't make that up. That's part of the Yehi Ratzon you say before Tehillim, is that it's as if David HaMelech is saying himself. Sha'arei sifsos av dovos bekever, as I just quoted. V'hu kiviyochel omeid u'ma'atir ba'adenu u'ba'ad mishpachtenu v'yaladenu. He gets up and he davens. That's what Tehillim is. And therefore he says on the top of the next paragraph, top next line, v'alkein kocham shel mizmorei ha'tehillim Rav, and therefore the power of saying Prakim of Tehillim is powerful. Afilu ka'asher einenu matzlichim lechavein ba'amirasam kidaboy. A very, very different approach than the holy approach of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it's all about understanding. You should read it as if you're in a chumash here, and you should learn it. And Rav Pinkus writes, even if you don't understand what you're talking about, even if you're not paying attention, dynamite explodes even if you have no idea where you're sending it to. The word kavana, by the way, of course, means direction. It doesn't mean intention. Lechavein is to have a certain direction. If you shoot something and it doesn't go exactly where you intended it to go, it's going to blow up anyway. And it's going to cause at least a certain amount of damage when it hits. Gam kasher tefilatenu kishla atzma lohaisa ru'uya liskabel. And even if the tefillah in and of itself is not so worthy to be accepted because of who I am, because of the way I'm saying it, shekein lo bekocheinu anu mevakshim. We're not asking that it be done in our merit and with our strength. Lo bizchuseinu anu mitzapim shetiskabel atfilo. Not in our zchus anu mishtamshim bekocham shel anakim. We're using the power of those who are so powerful. Bekocham shel avos, as I'll explain before the end of the shir today. Avos umaseinu, the avos of our nation, v'David HaMelech. Ubizchusam anu miyachalim lekach shetale tfilaseinu leratzon lefnei adon kol. And in their zchus, we hope and we pray that it will come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll just end with this paragraph for this piece. V'chan aleinu lehosif. Ki b'tehilosav shel David HaMelech, in these tehillim of David HaMelech, ba'osa mizmorim, malai kisufin v'arga tamon koach miyuchad. There's a tremendous power. Asher eino benimtza b'tfilos regilos. That you don't have in regular tfilos. You don't have in the tefillos that were written even by the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, which included prophets, by the way. The Shemona Esrei was composed before prophecy disappeared. And that's, by the way, not an accident. Prophecy was disappearing from the Jewish people, and a group called the Anshei Knesset HaGadola got together and constructed the basis of our Siddur, because they understood that prophecy was disappearing. So we have to realize that even the Siddur, even the Shemona Esrei, right? Where do we put, ladies, where do we put our Siddurim? You know, I have a very organized library in my house. It's not so organized after the flood from the first day of Sukkot here in the Five Towns. But I had a very organized library in my basement. It's very mesudar. First, there's an entire bookcase just on tefillah.
because that's what I work on with my writing. And then you start. Chumash, Perushim on Chumash, Navi, Perushim on Chumash, you start Mishnayas, Gemara, Shailas and Tshuva. It goes all the way around the whole basement. Where are Siddurim? What?
Next to the Torah.
Lamaisa, where are the Tehillah? Where's the Siddurim? They're somewhere, they're lying. Usually on top of the bookcase, there's one and there's one over here. Where do they belong? They belong next to Navi. They were written by Nevi'im. That's where they really belong on the shelf. It's guidance from Nevi'im about how to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what should be our priorities in the world. That's what it is. But even the Shemona Esrei, which was written by some Nevi'im, later Nevi'im, the end, Malachi, the people who were at the end of Nevuah, even that can't compare to the power of the Perek of Tehillim. Of what it means to have David HaMelech in our pocket. However, I notice a very interesting phenomenon that you may notice as well. When you say Tehillim by a tefillah, at the end of tefillah, I notice a very interesting phenomenon that people who are very concerned about Eretz Yisrael, which is most Jews right now, kind of whiz through davening, and then they wake up and get into it when they're about to say Tehillim at the end. It's specifically fascinating. One of the minyanim that I daven in says a perek of Tehillim that is very, very relevant to the time, which is Tehillim Chaf, Tehillim 20, Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara, which also is said between Ashrei and Uval Etzion at the end of davening. And I notice, but try not to judge, because it's a mistaken belief, that the same people that don't even say Ya'ancha Hashem get really into it at the end of davening when they say Ya'ancha Hashem B'yom Tzara. That's probably incorrect. I'll give it, before I finish, I'll try to defend them for a moment. But that's a little bit strange. We shouldn't downplay the Tehillim that's part of davening. And as we'll speak about next week, it turns out, with the same source sheets, we shouldn't downplay the power of our Shemona Esrei and the places that we could daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our Shemona Esrei when we're literally standing right in front of him, as the Mishnah Berurah writes, imagining that we're in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. We shouldn't downplay any of that. It's there in the tefillah when we come across Prakim of Tehillim in our tefillah, even if it's just Ashrei, just Ashrei. Just Ashrei was probably the piece de resistance of David HaMelech. That's what just Ashrei is. Ashrei is, for example, that's just what Ashrei is. So none of this should downplay the value of our quote-unquote real tefillos. Certainly the prakim of Tehillim that appear in our davening, the prakim of Tehillim that speak of the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of our enemies. How many of us have put extra kavana into Az Yashir over the last 2 weeks? Noting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Ish Milchama, noting that he defeats and drowns our enemies. That's not even from David HaMelech. That's in the Torah. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Do you ever think about that when you're saying Az Yashir? Do we even say Az Yashir? We kind of skip it towards the end. When we say Az Yashir, we're literally saying what the Jewish people said after they crossed Yamsuf. The power in those words. So nothing that we say at the end of davening, as Tehillim, should be understood, should be misconstrued to be more important than davening himself. I just want to explain that line of the Avos, which we'll talk about more next week, because I kind of skipped around a little bit to avoid the Avos references, but Rav Pinkus says that on some level, the same thing applies to the three daily Shemona Esreis, which were established by the Avos, not their words. And in that sense, Tehillim might be even more powerful, not their exact words, but the three times of davening and the three Avos, which I did speak about a lot last time we had a chance to learn together.
that on some level too, when I daven Shachris, what I spoke about last time was the idea that Shachris was composed by, the idea of Shachris is that of Avraham Avinu, the idea of davening in the afternoons of our life was perfected by Yitzchak. The idea of davening in the night times of our life was perfected by Yaakov Avinu. That's why they had three very different life experiences. That's why they composed tefillos at different times of the day. And Rav Pinkus writes that even when it comes to the Shmona Esrei, we are assisted. And Chazal say this, that Avraham Avinu helps take our tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we daven Shachris. So it's not simply that. But today's focus is really on the saying of Tehillim. And let me just conclude with one idea that's somewhere between what the Nefesh Shimshon says and what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Again, the question that we raised is, to what extent is Kavana during Tefillah important? Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zatzal, suggesting that it's really ultimately, even if it's not so inspiring, is a type of Torah learning, and it pays if we're saying so much Tehillim. Those who are a part of the nightly Tehillim recitation here in the Five Towns, which is such a beautiful thing, they're saying, I believe it's 7 prakim of Tehillim, take home the sheet one day and spend a little time in the day learning what those prakim, we're going to say them every single night, learn what they mean. That's one side. It's all about the meaning. Rav Shimshon David Pinkus, Zatzal, suggesting that it's dynamite. It's the words of David HaMelech, as long as we just utter them, then the power is way beyond what we can imagine. But I came across this morning, actually, a third opinion that actually speaks the closest to my heart, that is somewhere in between, and might defend the difference between saying Tehillim as part of our davening, saying Yan Hashem B'Yom Tzara, blah, 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 in the middle of davening, and saying it the way that we do at the end of davening. And it's an idea that I'll focus on much more next week. But Ravitcher Meyer Morgenstern, I came across in the Yama Chachma, that he says, I don't have this quote for you, but I'll read it. Tzarech ladas, she'al yidei she'yehudi marbe ba'amiras tehillim, when a Jew is marbe with the saying of Tehillim, when he says Tehillim as Tehillim, it brings him a level of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is particular to Tehillim. Even if we don't understand every single word, but we understand some of the lines that we're saying, there is something magical about Tehillim that helps us put our hearts in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ezri mihim Hashem, Oseh Shemayim Baretz. Esai Nai Elaharim, Me'ayin Yevo Ezri. What happens at the end of davening, or what happens when we say Tehillim, the Eretz Yisrael? We drop everything, and we turn our hearts and our minds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We drop everything. We stop. And through the words of Tehillim, which more than any other sefer is about emuna and belief that everything that happens to us is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether I'm thanking him for something or whether I'm begging him for something, the theme of the entire sefer Tehillim is that my life is in his hands and I trust in him. Va'al kein sarach laharbos ba'miras Tehillim ad shemargish benafsho. Therefore, we have to increase the way we say Tehillim until we feel in our hearts bitachon v'hitchazkut b'borei yitbarach. Does it matter if we trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time? If Tehillim gets us, every single one of us, to believe that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even Tzahal, and certainly Tzahal, at a time where we don't understand what happened and how that which we thought was impenetrable is quite full of holes, to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Tehillim does for every single one of us. We do feel that, and especially when we're saying Tehillim, Kwa Tehillim. Especially when we simply open up a Sefer Tehillim. When our response
to seeing something in the news is to immediately open up a Sefer Tehillim, it's because Tehillim speaks more closely than anything else to our belief that it is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As many times a day as you open up Twitter, you have to open up a Sefer Tehillim. And you don't get the same rush from a Sefer Tehillim that you get from Twitter. But that has to be the reaction. And let me share with you just one mashal, and I'll end with this, where Rav Pinkus explains this idea.
The Shulchan Aruch quotes that when a person is davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's really true of all of our davening, but we feel it so much in Tehillim, that they have to be as a poor person who's knocking at the door. You have to be a shnar. You have to be an ani standing at the door. Okay, that's what he says. He says, what happens when an ani comes to our door? So it happens every day. Somebody comes to your door. They have quite the story. And by the way, to the extent that you can, it's important to listen to their stories, because that's part of the chesed. You won't necessarily be able to give more based on the story they give, but them being able to share the story, them being able to feel that you gave money because they said their story, not just because you give to everyone who comes to the door, is very powerful. You don't always have the patience for that. You don't always believe every aspect of the story, but it's important. They should feel that they drew the tzedakah out of you with their efforts. It's important. Somebody comes to you and they say, I have this thing, I'm in collecting from Eretz Yisrael, and my wife, my child, my father, my mother needs a surgery, and it's going to cost 1 million shekel. The whole thing, with all the everything, is going to be 1 million shekel. 1 million shekel, it's a lot of shekel. And they bring the bills, and they bring everything, and they show what they owe to the hospital. And usually you give $20 to somebody, but this seems to be pretty legit. You go back and you write him a check for $180. $180, that's pretty good. Guy just came to your door, you don't know who he is. You give the person $180. And you feel pretty good about yourself, and the person thanks you profusely. Do you ever think how ridiculous that is? You gave the person $180, they need 1 million shekel. What's the pshat? You gave them $180. And what's pshat that the person's happy that you gave them $180? They needed 1 million shekel. They should turn away and they should say, I appreciate your generosity, but I have to pay for this. The answer is simple. Because you're not the only Jew on your block. You live in the five towns. Everybody's from in your block. And the fact is, your house is relatively small next to the other house next to you. So what's the big deal? You gave them 180. Next door, they'll probably give 360. Someone will give them $10,000. And eventually, somehow, they'll get 1 million shekel. That is the attitude with which the typical ani comes to the door and the attitude with which we take towards the typical ani. My job is to give a little bit. What does it mean when we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a poor person at the door? We often appear at his door in a very similar fashion to the aniim who appear at our doors. I basically got it covered. I have 1 million options. I have 1 million places to turn. I have 1 million weapons. Could you also contribute? Could you also do your part? Could you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me $180? Could you give me something? But imagine if that ani, after you walk back and you try to get your checkbook, says, no, you don't understand. I don't need money from you. The money is not going to help. There's no way I can raise this kind of money. But I know that your sister is a surgeon in the hospital in Eretz Yisrael. I'm looking to get to her. I don't need your $180. I need to get to the surgeon. I need to get to the one that can fix the problem in Ganson, the entire problem. Your reaction is much different. You're energized. You realize that you are the solution. You're not a tiny part of the solution. How do we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this horrifying, terrifying time? Do we also hope that he'll help? Do we also hope that he'll do his part? Or do we come and we say, you'll excuse me, in the words of Princess Leia herself, you are my only hope. Esa'ena el harim, me'ayin yavo isri. If there's no way that Klal Yisrael can stand up if you don't do anything. There's no way that we're here if you hadn't done anything for thousands of years. And there's no way we can get through this unless you stand up for us right now. That's what it means to be an Ani B'Pesach. And that's what happens when we say Tehillim. It's not about understanding every word, I would suggest, but it's also not about simply not being moved and changed. They are dynamite, don't get me wrong, but it's not simply about throwing those words out there and hoping it'll help. It's the transformation that we undergo, and we're about to undergo in a second when we say Prakam of Tehillim, where we stop for a second from our everyday lives, and even our everyday tefillos, and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need you. We recognize that you are the only one that can help us. We realize that you're the only source, the only thing that keeps Klal Yisrael. Everybody hates us. It's unfathomable to us. We are a veil after veil after veil are pulled away. We are alone. Yes, we thank the President of the United States so much. We thank the Prime Minister of the UK. We thank those in Canada. We thank those who are supporting us. But I don't think it's a time that we're generally feeling a tremendous amount of support from the world, despite those very heroic efforts. And all those people will unfortunately be called to task for their support of Israel. You know that. It's a time where we're feeling all alone. But it's only when we feel alone that we truly put our hearts and our hands, we truly open up like this, and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing else we can do without you. And that, I think, is really the power of Tehillim. We'll end by saying two Prakim of Tehillim together. It'll go up on the screen. We'll take the question. Next week, we'll look at places in the davening itself. Right now, we stand way outside of the proverbial Beis HaMikdash, as we say Tehillim in this YU office here. We're going to understand next week how when we daven and we say Shemoneh Esrei, every time we take three steps forward, we're transported to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And we have private time to ask for anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we could say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So next week we'll focus on the Shemoneh Esrei. But we'll end this week by saying a few prayers.